Hello, everybody. My name is Roger Waters. I'm the justice for the Free State of Indiana. Today's date is Sunday, September 15th, 2024. This is the judicial call, and we are, oh boy, I'll tell you, halfway through this month already, and we're getting ready to go into a brand new biblical year in 15 days. A lot of exciting things about to take place. Tonight, before we get started, first I'm going to pray, and then I'm going to tell you something that happened today. Let's open up in prayer. Father, we thank you for the time to come together and worship you, talk about you, talk about your republic. We thank you, Father, for you giving us the opportunity to work in your kingdom, to further your kingdom called this republic. We thank you, Father, for all that you've done, all your healing, all your salvation, everything that you've done for us as we are your people. And we say that in the name of Yeshua. Amen. Now, in case you haven't heard, today we broke another record. Assassination attempts on President Trump, 2. Assassination attempts on the Democrats, 0. Who, I ask, is the real threat to democracy, as they say? Trump was out playing golf in his backyard, so to speak, on his golf course, and shots rang out. Couple of them came towards him, but not close enough to do any really serious damage. FBI did catch the guy. Secret Service fired back at him. What I just got here just a minute ago says this. Ryan Wesley Ralph, 58-year-old registered Democrat and rabid Ukraine supporter, came armed to assassinate Trump at his West Palm Beach golf course. This isn't just a random attack. It's a deliberate high-level operation to silence the one man standing in their way. The FBI is hiding crucial details to the deep state's deadly plot. Now, this headline today won't be the last like it, I'm just telling you. Remember, him and Miss Harris had a little talk last Tuesday night, and he embarrassed the heck out of her. I know the media says she won hands down. She didn't. ABC's getting ridden, and just about those two guys got hung by their own people. They didn't like the way the debate went. When the left doesn't like what you do, then you're in trouble. You see, back in 16 when Trump won, we all knew he wasn't going to change everything. We did know he was going to expose a lot because he's not part of that corrupt inner circle. And he did expose. And he did a few other things too. And I'm going to kind of talk about that for just a little bit here. First thing I'm going to talk about is H.R. 6227, an act to provide for the coordinated federal program to accelerate quantum research and development for the economic and national security of the United States. Passed by the 115th Congress, 2017-2018, under Donald J. Trump. It's also known or called the National Quantum Initiative Act. That means that when you hear people tell you that this quantum stuff is phony baloney, you slap this in their face and you tell them, no, it's a law that was signed by President Trump in 2018. It's a law on the books, and now it's about to come to pass for us. Now, this bill does a lot of things, and I don't have time to go into all of them. But what we are about to see take place, known as the QFS, is because of that executive order. And I can tell you this, Biden couldn't find that or he would have done away with it. Kind of gives you an idea of where that thing was, huh? And then there's another one, Executive Order 13825, done in 2018. Just 4 months following this one, the first one I talked about. I'm not going to go into this. You can read it yourselves. You don't have it, so I'm going to say it one more time. Executive Order 13825. Amendments to the Manual for Court-Martial, United States. This opened the door for this particular time frame that we're in right now for the U.S. military in Guantanamo, Cuba, in Leavenworth, Kansas, and a few other places overseas to hold military tribunals on civilian personnel. Don't tell me Donald Trump was just some dummy who got in there. He had planned all this long before he got into office. You see, we, the Republic, would have had to done all this ourselves if we were stood up. But Donald J. Trump was stood up. See, that to me, the interesting thing is God has this master plan. And sometimes we don't think it's moving quick enough, so we like to put our 2 cents in. And after the dust settles and everybody gets wiped off, we kind of have to start all over again. This republic has learned way back in 2010, 2012 frame, we can't move God to go quicker or faster than the plan calls for. So we sit and we wait. And after the president was kidnapped, we kind of were in hiding, you might say. We were here. We had lost about 80-85% of our people and states, but we were still here. You see, the law of God says, and he told Joshua this, as long as there's one standing, then I will pursue my will. He tells Jeremiah in chapter 23, 24, and 25, that as long as the sun comes up and the sea and the waves roar, the house of Israel will still be here. And he will still be seated on the throne. You see the sun this morning? If you live on the ocean, did you hear the waves roaring? Guess what? God's still in control. So we have nothing to worry about. It may look scary at times, but we have nothing to worry about. Now, the president wanted me to address something that I will hear shortly. Um, there are people who are questioning whether or not President Trump is legitimately the president. And I can tell you that without a shadow of a doubt, he is. Now, in a few minutes, I'm going to read to you what he wrote. I won't do it right at this very minute, probably towards the end of what we're doing tonight. But I can attest to you that I, myself, Roger Lee Waters, Indiana, Free State, I started out as a representative in July of 2010. Then we were RAP, R-A-P, Restore America Plan. And all we had at that time was grand juries in each state. We had 36 in Indiana, 36 people. I was asked to be a rep. I raised my hand. I became a rep, took the oath for the rep. A week later, they said, Roger, because of your experience, we need a judge. Okay, so I became a judge. About a month later, they said, Roger, not only do we need a judge, but we really need a district judge. So I became a district judge. And I was that all the way until 2017. And I stepped back down to a state Supreme Court Chief Justice. That's a story for another time, but I will tell it. And you see, during that whole period of time, I was in this republic when we had that 4.5-hour phone call. And that's when we voted in Tim Turner as president, a guy named Wright as vice president. We voted in all of Congress, and we had, I think it was 47 states represented at that time. We voted in all the House and all the Senate members. They all took their oath. And then we appointed the justices for the Supreme Court, all nine of them. And on that particular date, September 23rd, 2010, the first day of Tabernacles, a high biblical feast, this republic was brought back to life. That's all we did at that time. We just raised it up to three-branch government. What we didn't know at the time was that there were a lot of people across America who were also doing their general assemblies, but they wanted a nation-state type government, which simply is they are in the mix of, well, the stuff that this country had before that didn't work, the Articles of Confederation. Why didn't that work? Because every single state boundary was its own nation. Thus, nation state. It all, every one of them had their own currency. In Virginia, it was more like tea leaves, tobacco leaves. In Connecticut, it may have been something like walnuts. I mean, it was crazy the way that they were doing trading. So if you're a farmer in Virginia and you grow tobacco and you try to go to North Carolina and sell it to them, they got a different type of money system. Well, how much is yours worth compared to mine? They didn't know all that stuff. It was confusion. And every one of those states tried to do treaties with other nations, which was wacko. And the people had no guarantee on their own life, their own safety, and so forth. So next came the Constitutional Convention. And a few years later, we came out with the Constitution. And in that Constitution, it says that the articles are absorbed into it, but we are going to retain the title and the name United States. And a union was formed. The union is the states. Now, in case anybody has any misunderstanding, just let me say this. The people that are supposed to be in charge of the national government, they're not born into those families like in England. They're not the people who are placed there and then stay there. No, they're farmers that live down the road from where you live. They're store owners that you know. They're people you went to school with. And the way the founders envisioned this was they would go to the national capital and maybe do two, at the most three terms, do their best they could do, then they'd come back home. And all the laws that they would pass while they were there for the whole country, they would then have to go back and work in those laws they passed. So they're going to pass laws that benefit them as well. That was the vision of the founding fathers. And that worked all the way up until Lincoln. Lincoln was shot, and his vice president had to take over for about 3 years. And then this guy, Grant, was voted into office. Now, Grant was a war hero. He was a general. He was a great man in war. The statues all over the country of him sitting on his horse. But Grant was the guy that signed the Dictionary Act that made you a human being into a corporation so the government could control every little step, when and when you can or cannot go to the bathroom. They want to know everything about you, and they track you. That's what Grant did. He also signed the Organic Act of 1871 that made D.C. that 10-square-mile diamond-looking piece of property. And down through the years, because of what Grant did, they came out with Social Security. Well, that's supposed to benefit you when you get old, except that's not what they use it for. That's your ID number. They know everything about you with your Social Security number. That's planned, because, see, now you got a straw man. That's because of the Dictionary Act. Now they can trace you. Then, on top of that, well, they have this voter ID thing where when you go down and you get your driver's license, you can file a voter ID. And then you've got these people out here who think that you can fill out a few forms, pay a couple thousand dollars, and you're completely out of the corporation. Well, I got news for you. You ain't. The first time you go to the bank and draw $10 out of your bank account, you're right back in the corporation. First time you go get a driver's license, you're right back in the corporation. What are you going to do? Are you going to walk everywhere you go? You going to carry half a ton of seed or whatever if you're a farmer on your back? How are you going to transport all that stuff? How are you going to keep your money in the ground or underneath your mattress? You going to completely go off the grid? No TV, no radio, no nothing. No communications. You can't even get a cell phone. How you going to live? And now we're at the point where everything's about to crash down. And there are still people out there who are willing to spend $3,000 to $5,000 to get out of the corporation a month before it completely goes to the ground. Now, I don't know about you, but to me, that's just plain stupid. That's like handing that much money to somebody for nothing. And then there are people out there right now who say that, well, even if it does come crashing down, you're still not out of it. What? What do you mean I'm not out of it? They're gone. They're dead. They're nowhere to be found. That's correct. When we are stood up, that's because they, the corporation, that would be Washington, D.C., and Reno, the city of Reno, where the U.S. Treasury is right now, that would all go down and be nothing. Well, how's all this happening? Because of the two executive orders I just read to you. Actually, one's a bill, and the other one's an executive order. Because of one man, Trump. God wanted Trump in that office to carry out certain things, to do certain things, and he did. God's calling him to run again. That doesn't mean he will make it. It does not mean he won't get shot. It doesn't mean anything except God has called him to run. Because just by him running, it is exposing the worst of the worst of the Democratic Party. It is bringing out every little dirty detail. And thank goodness they got Harris in there, because she can't keep her mouth shut. Whereas the first guy, he couldn't talk right. Well, this one can talk, but she doesn't know when to shut up, like she did Tuesday night. And she didn't really give anything away that we didn't already know, except she never answered one question. We know the deceit. We know the lie. We know all we need to know about her. Now, I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. You take a pot shot on somebody like, you know, Trump. There may be things that just accelerated 10 times. I don't know. I know when I was in the Marine Corps, something like that would have happened, we'd have already been on a beach somewhere. So I can't promise you what will happen tomorrow. But I will tell you this. Every time they try something like that, it gets accelerated a little bit. Now, there's a couple of things that I do want to talk to you all about tonight. And that is the courts and some of the things that apply to the courts. We need to understand that the court systems of this republic are broken down into certain aspects and levels. Now, everybody says that the government is top to bottom. No, the republic is bottom to top. A lot of people think that, well, they want to do the national government first and then deal with the counties. Well, we have to. If we have one or two counties up and running in six states and that's it, we'll never get stood up. We've got to have the national government in place so if we are called upon tomorrow, we can be stood up. And right now, as far as I know, we have at least 38 states. That's a quorum of states with governors and judges in them. And we're getting more, so we're getting filled up. And that's good. I am going to warn you, however, do not let these idiots from these jural assemblies out there in your states try to talk you out of getting out of the Republic. Just turn away and walk away from them. Don't even talk with them. I'm going to tell you why. Because in the Bible, we have precedents, if you want to call it that, of how to deal with that kind of thing. If you go talk to somebody and you find out they're in that jural assembly in your state that is calling us all kind of names, and you know what they're doing is going to wind up putting them in jail, and you try to talk to them, it don't work. Well, biblically, what you're supposed to do is go get a friend and come back, and the two of you talk to them. And if that don't work, then you go and you talk to the elders. You talk to the officers of the Republic. And we'll all go talk, but if that don't work, then you stand on the rooftop and you shout it to everybody. And if that doesn't work, you do what 1 Corinthians 5:5 says. Given to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Christ. Basically, you do what the Amish do. You shun them. You don't eat with them. You don't talk with them. You don't do anything with them. If they're going to be that hard-headed, then you just have to leave them alone and don't have any association with them. Now, my grandma told me all the time, I'm sure yours did too, if you got a whole bushel of apples and you put one rotten one on top, in about 2 days they'll all be some form of rottenness in them. Amazing how one can destroy the whole flock. Don't allow it to happen in your state. Just move on. Do what you have to do in the Republic. Get yourself stood up. Get yourself ready. And forget about them. Because they are, in the worst way, your enemy. We got enemies everywhere, guys. Everywhere. And we have to keep our ears and our eyes open on all of it. Don't let them try to sneak in. Find a crack and come in. Don't let them. Keep a tight ship. You can go talk to people. We encourage that. But once you find out who and what they are, if it's somebody you don't want around, then you make sure they go away. Okay. Enough about that. Does anybody have a clue as to what we are about to get into? Because now I have to give you a warning. Not bad. It's not a bad warning. It's a good one. But what I want to do is I want to warn you about what's coming up in the next 2 weeks. You see, we got people out there who right now are getting hate mail. Now, these are not your friends or somebody you may know personally. These are the people out there that sometimes write on telegrams, other people who try to give out some form of information. A lot of times it's false information. But they're getting bombarded right now with hate mail. Now, I can tell you from my experience in both the United States Marine Corps, the United States Navy, reading the history of the Korean War and World War II, and even going back to the Civil War, before the battle actually took place, there was mail being sent back and forth on both sides. And it wasn't pretty mail. They were calling each other names and things of that nature. Kind of gives you a hint. If you ever been in the military, you would have learned about this maybe in boot camp, or you would have experienced it firsthand. But right now, a lot of hate mail going back and forth. And if that is the same indication as it was back 50 to 100 years ago, we are about to break something loose that we've never seen in this country. We only got two things that I know of that is ready to break loose. One is the quantum stuff, and the other one is war. Make sure that every single one of you, and then when we get off this call, you make sure that every person in your family has enough water, enough canned food, enough dry food to last for 2 weeks to a month. If nothing happens, they just save themselves a couple trips to the store. If it does happen, and say we do have 10, 12 days of darkness, communications are blacked out, then you don't have to worry about it. You're stored up. Well, my preacher always told me we're supposed to help everybody else. Okay. Well, let's go to the Bible and let's see what the Bible says about that. Noah was out walking around one day. God got a hold of him and said, hey, build a boat. Here's the size of it. And I'm sure Noah was going, okay, well, what's this for? It's going to rain. Rain? What's rain? I've never seen rain. So he gets the boat built, helped by the very people who are laughing at him and calling him all kinds of names. And the day it rains, Noah gets in after all the animals and his family, and God shuts the door. Now, the Word tells us that Noah was the only person in his family that wasn't corrupted. That meant had angelic DNA injected into the female body and the children becoming something other than what God created, like a giant. You realize today they're doing that, right? The Pfizer shot was the first one. Oh, get your immune shot. Go down and get your vaccination. Yeah, it'll save your life. It'll stop it. You can't pass it on. And all that info was false. You know that Dr. Fauci right now has over 30 million deaths attributed to the NIH. He had four world leaders assassinated because they wouldn't take his shots and give them to their people. Four. This man is truly evil. He's worse than Mao. He's worse than Hitler. So, election time coming up in less than 55 days, right? Was it 53 today? Something like that. Monkeypox came out of nowhere just a month ago. Now guess what Pfizer's got? They got a vaccination for monkeypox. They're pushing it. I've seen it on TV. They got advertisements out for it. And you know what the current administration is going to do, right? It worked so well last time. They're going to try it this time. Stay away from it. Don't even think about it. Now, we in the Republic, we do not advocate for violence, okay? We don't. We don't want to use violence because the corporation's there and they would mow us down in a heartbeat. So while we are in the situation as interim as we are, we cannot do anything physically or violently to the other side. That's why the military's there. We don't and we won't. They can and they will. No, I don't think 100% of the military's on our side. You got a few woke individuals. You got a few people who doesn't care. They know where their paycheck comes from, and that's who they serve. But what happens if that person that they get their paycheck from all of a sudden is gone, not there, replaced? What then? I was in Gitmo, Cuba, 3 times in the Navy. And that little jail cell that they had down there called the Brig only had 6 jail cells in it in 1986 and 1988. 6, all they had. Now they got over 300. Amazing how big that complex grew. And it's sophisticated, too. It's all electronic. Not by hand key, but basically they can do everything with remote control. Here's my point. Between now and October the 2nd, which is the first day of Tishri, the new biblical year. And let me just say this so everybody understands. God didn't give a hoot about the Roman calendar. He don't care about it whatsoever. He didn't care about Christmas. He don't care about Easter. He didn't care about Halloween. He could care less about any of those days. To him, they're pagan. They're Satanist to him. You want to celebrate something? Go to Leviticus chapter 23 and read the feast days of the Lord. That's his holidays. So I'll ask you like I ask pastors. By the way, pastors hate me. They hate me with a passion. They don't want to talk to me. I'm about to tell you why. Look up Leviticus 23, and the very first one is called Passover. That's the day Christ died, Passover. Christ did not die on a Friday afternoon at 3 o'clock. He died on Wednesday afternoon and rose after sundown Saturday. Figure it out. 3 days, 3 nights. What he said in Matthew 12:40. Believe me, I have tried. I'm good at math, okay? And I have done my best to squeeze 72 hours into that time slot between Friday at 3 and Sunday morning before sunrise. And I could not do it. I just couldn't do it. And then one day I found out what the word Sunday really is. Sun-day. Sun-Baal. Baal day. Baal, that God that we're told not to worship. Jeremiah and Isaiah. Baal is Nimrod, in case you didn't know. Nimrod married his mother. Yep, that's the grandson of Noah. He's the guy that built Babylon, the ancient city, Hanging Gardens. He's the guy that built the Tower of Babel. He was a big, great hunter of the Lord. Yeah. Hunting those who believed in him. And he wasn't a believer himself. That's the story of Easter. You want to know why we have in the some of the different denominations, Lent, the 40 days of Lent, light a candle every day, do whatever. All because there were supposed to be 40 body parts of Nimrod when the wild boar got him. Make it only find 39. So each day represents a body part. The one they couldn't find, now today they call it a phalanx. And go to D.C. and take a good look at the Washington Monument. It wasn't built by the Founding Fathers. It was built by the Freemasons, the Scottish Rite. That's a phalanx. You know what part of the body that represents, right? Well, that's what's sitting there in front of the Vatican in that big circle, and it's what's sitting there in Washington, D.C. What does that tell you about our government? This is what we are going to, well, technically, going to be demolished, going to be done away with, said goodbye, bye-bye. And the executive order that Trump signed with the military to give them the right to hold military tribunals. Before that, the only way a civilian can go before a military tribunal is to commit a crime on a military base, ship, or something of that nature. The only way. This executive order gives the military, 50,000 United States Marine Corps people, not the same ones, but the slots, 50,000 of them, to go around and arrest. Now they got over 600,000 sealed arrest documents. So each one is going to have quite a few to take care of. And they can take them down and hold a military tribunal. And brother and sister, let me tell you, you go through a military tribunal at a time of conflict or war, and you're found guilty, they just put you in a hole in the ground. They don't care. They'll put 50 of you in one hole because you're a scumbag to them. That's what's about to take place in this country, as well as other countries. We're not the only one. This is a worldwide event, guys. That's why it's called Nusra and Gusra. We have Nus, the N. The world as a whole has G, Gus. Well, how do the courts of the Republic play into this? Simple. You have the United States Supreme Court. Now think about it in your head for a second. The United States Supreme Court. It is on the same level as the executive branch, the legislative branch, and the judicial branch of the constitutional government. So they only hear cases involving the president and his branch, the House Speaker and the Senate Pro Tem and his branch, and the judicial branch. That's it. They don't hear abortion cases. The Republic Supreme Court will never hear a case on a woman's right to choose. Trump's been right all along. That belongs to the states. I wish Tuesday he would have told Kamala to read the 10th Amendment of the Constitution, because that's the one that says whatever is not in written in this Constitution belongs to the state. Now, Kamala, get up. I wish somebody would say that to her. I know it's a talking point. Somebody needs to slap her so hard she'll never get back up. because she's a communist. My oath of office in the United States Marine Corps was to kill communists. That was my oath. And I sat for 6 days in Saigon while the rest of everybody else was getting out. That was our mission. We had to pull out because we couldn't get the job done because of Nixon. Yeah, we're that big, bad country that takes care of everybody else. What I learned, my whole existence in the military was for bankers and bankers only. Oh, I wasn't a happy camper. Now I know the whole story. The United States Supreme Court will only hear issues of treaties that the government makes with other nations. And if Congress brings out a bill, if it's actually constitutional or not. And that's all they do. The district court, the Constitution calls it inferior court. That's a district court. It sets one level below the Supreme Court. That judge, that level of courts, may only be two, three. There are some states that have four in them because of the population. Those courts will only hear issues from state to state. So if the state of Indiana has an issue with the state of Illinois from state to state, then it goes to the district court level. The district court is an arm of the Supreme Court. The district court will never, ever hear an abortion case. They will never, ever hear a gay case. Anything of that nature. None of our courts are going to hear that anyway, because under the Republic law, there won't be none of that. And we will enforce that. When you come down to the state level, the state Supreme Court, that court will hear any issue state to state when it comes to only citizenry. So if a guy commits a crime in Illinois and comes across to Indiana and gets caught, then that belongs to the state that the crime was committed in, and it can go no higher than the state Supreme Court. When you read your state constitution, it will say something to the effect that your state will have either 3 to 5 or 5 to 7. It will always end in an odd number. But that's how many judges you will have at the state Supreme Court level. Now, inside that state, inside your state, you can have what's known as circuit courts. That's a roving judge. He's an intermediary between the state supreme and the county. They had that back in the old days simply because they didn't have enough judges to go around. Everything was a territory back in that day, and judges traveled a lot. We don't have to have them. That'll be up to our Congress whether or not we have that or not. The big winner is the county. They're the busiest. They're open more days than any other type of court. They're the court that hears your murder cases. They're the court that hears all your mediocre type cases. Well, he ran over my dog. He did this to my fence. He hit the tree on my front yard. That kind of stuff. That's the county court. If the two individuals can't work it out amongst themselves, then it goes to the county court. If it's a higher crime like kidnapping, child pornography, child molestation, things of that nature, that'll go to the county court. What you see take place in the county court and the way it operates will be the same way the state Supreme Court operates, the same way the district court will operate, even the National Supreme Court will operate the same way as far as procedure goes. You can't have the trial until you get the evidence in. So evidence has to come before the trial, that kind of thing. Everybody works the same way. Everybody has the same law form. Now, we have what we call biblical law. It does not mean that every law in the Bible we will use. And Christians have a hard time understanding this. There's technically two law forms in the Old Testament. One is the law of God, the Ten Commandments. There are others are what they call the law of Moses. Now, the law of Moses primarily told you about the animals and how they're sacrificed and who sacrifices them and what day they're sacrificed on and, you know, the roving and moving temple and all that. Well, we don't have that anymore. We have Christ. But the Ten Commandments, which is the law, I want you to get a mental picture of this. When Moses was up on Mount Sinai, and he was hearing God tell him, I'm going to give you some laws, and he began to speak them out, and they were written on that tablet of stone. That was a word from God, a word from the Creator. Now, we have a lot of times, 189 times, God literally spoke verbally to a human being. In our Bibles, it may be two or three chapters long, but that would be one time that he spoke. When Christ comes, John 1:1 tells us that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That means that the very verbiage, the sounds that came out of the Creator's mouth and then accomplished something was a word. And John 1:1 tells us that the Word, in verse 14, became flesh and lived or dwelt among us. That would be what we call the Messiah, the living Christ. So in Matthew 5, we have the Beatitudes. And there's a part there where Christ had to stop people from misdoing it, misquoting it. He said, I did not come to do away with the law. I came to fulfill it. If you go to a church that tells you that God did away with the law when Christ came, get out of that church as quick as you can. Run as far as you can away from it. They're lying to you. Christ did not do away with himself. If he's the Word, he can't do away with himself, or we wouldn't even have salvation. Think about that. Now, I hate to bust people's bubbles, But if you're in this republic right now, it's because you found out you've been lied to about other things. Do you think it just stops there? No, the government didn't come into the churches and tell the churches how to preach. No, the Jesuits did that. And some other folks like the Masons. Not everything's the government's fault, but just about. Now, the reason I'm saying all this is simple. We are going to have to go through a crash course on the judicial side of things. If you're a governor on this call or you're a senator or whatever, I'm glad you're here, because right now you may not be taught this kind of stuff on your individual calls. You need to know this now. Not everybody who's in this government, we call the Republic, can talk about this kind of thing because they may not be in charge of whatever position they're in. Even we go by a chain of command. I just happen to chair the judicial. I have a guy over me. His name is Dan Crager. He is the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court. And he attends a lot of these calls. But when it's time to do procedure, I stay out of his court. He stays out of mine. That's just the way it works. But we both follow the same law form. That's the way we're supposed to operate. That way, if you live in Ohio and you go to your court in Ohio and you travel to see a relative in Minnesota and you have to go with them into their courtroom, you're going to find that that courtroom operates exactly like the one you just came from in Ohio. It's like walking out the door of one, across the street, and into the next. You sure don't go to McDonald's, order a meal, then go across the street and pay Burger King, do you? No. What takes place in this republic is because we already had the rules and the laws for it. We didn't make none of this up. We didn't have to sit around and create anything. It was already there. Now, I'm going to read you this that President Geiger had written. He's posting this on the website, and he's putting it on wire. You can find it on your phone or computer. It's a public notice, so it's nothing that's secretive or whatever. It's about 2.5 pages, so it's going to take a few minutes to read, so okay? It's important. Republic for the United States of America, public notice. Then it gives a secure ID number. Cunning, ambitious, and unprincipled men will be able to subvert the power of the people and to usurp themselves the reins of government, destroying afterwards the very engines which have lifted them to unjust dominion. The spirit tends to consolidate the powers of all departments in one, and thus to create whatever the form of government, a real government type. George Washington, Farewell Address, 1796. There are those in our midst who want to question the legitimacy of my presidency. The details of how I became president of the Republic for the United States of America are documented in Volume 2 of Reinhabited. The Story of the Re-Inhabitation by Gene and Dave Ertler. That being said, let me get into more of the lawful aspects of my presidency. To do this, I must first address the presidency of James Timothy Turner. He was elected president via a voice vote on a nationwide phone call. This was done prior to the adoption of what we refer to as the Utah Document, Declaration of Sovereign Intent, or the DSI, in which the American people chose to re-adopt the Constitution for the United States of America as our law form. In hindsight, what should have happened after the adoption of the Constitution for the United States of America would have been to hold a presidential election in order to comply with that law form. Due to the excitement and business of that time, this was never brought up until after when then President Turner was kidnapped by the U.S. corporation. As part of the takedown of the then President Turner, they also had agents in our midst who strongly encouraged the American people to no longer participate in this civic duty in regard to finishing the job which they started, standing up the original de jure republic. In addition, threats were made that everyone continuing to hold office in the republic would be arrested and face similar circumstances as then President Turner, and face similar circumstances as then President Turner in jail. At this point in time, the majority of the republic office holders either resigned or became dormant. One of those who would not be reached was the Republic Vice President. Some evidence suggested that he fled the country. This meant that the burden of the presidency fell upon my shoulders since I was President Pro Tem of the Republic Senate. As acting president, I had to make the decision of whether we were going to continue to stand as a remnant or we were going to disband and abandon everything we had accomplished. This was a situation that I never thought I would be faced with. My decision, we would not give up, and we would continue the good fight no matter what. We were going to restore the republic that our forefathers had intended to pass down to their posterity. Our first focus while I was acting president was to help then President Turner as best as we could in his court fight. Both he and ourselves were not successful in that regard. Please read James Timothy Turner, An American Presidential Political Prisoner by Gene Ertler to garner the details of that situation. Once the dust had settled from dealing with this court case, it finally occurred to us, highlighted by the fact that I was only the acting president and not the president, was that we were going to need to comply to the Constitution for the United States of America and have a presidential election. At this point, it came my duty to have the Secretary of State post in the national newspaper about the presidential election. I placed my name in the hat as one of the candidates with the hope that someone else would win. I have never been one who ever wanted to be at the center of attention, and if I had my preference, I would always prefer to be in supporting position, not the one out front. Maybe that will help you understand why I was in hopes that someone else would win this election. The concern I had at that time was there were several states, a remnant of the 13, the same number as our founding fathers started off with, going to follow through with all the details required by the Constitution for the United States of America in order to elect a de jure constitutional president for the interim government. Were they going to do all of the travel and paperwork required to document a presidential election, which included proceeding with the Electoral College procedure? What I found out was, yes, they were. And they performed all of the necessary steps required by the Constitution and held a constitutional presidential election in which I won the majority of the electoral votes and won the election. What was the next step? We had to hold a presidential inauguration. Most of these details are documented in Volume 2 of Reinhabited. Back to the point I was making above. The presidency of James Timothy Turner was a precursor to that of my presidency. His presidency can best be described as President of the National Assembly or President of the Second Constitutional Convention. Being that he was not elected in accordance with the Constitution for the United States of America, but before its re-adoption in Utah by the American people. We had a better understanding of our adopted law form, and had he not been kidnapped for the de facto United States Corporation, I have no doubt that he would have been able to win the presidential election in which I was a candidate. I also know that I would not have chosen to have been a candidate in such election in which he was running. The other thing the reader should consider is a raw courage of fortitude of those of us who remained faithful to the cause after the arrest of Tim Turner. It would have been much easier to just fade away and never to be heard of from again. So in essence, it's been somewhat of a miracle that this remnant of the American people have been able to continue this race with while still holding onto the torch of liberty. So where does that leave us as far as lawful standing? First of all, since the U.S. corporation interfered with the American people who were and are simply carrying out their civic duty to be self-governing, the very fact that they intervened and arrested then-President Turner actually gives those of us who remain steadfast in the case of liberty greater standing in law. Even though we were a remnant and had no longer the quorum of free states, we were able to function as an interim government and seat the lawful president of the Republic for the United States of America. Why did I say president for the Republic? For the United States of America and not president of the United States of America? Something you may ask. Because we are not claiming to represent all Americans. But as far as our standing as the lawful civil authority upon the land, we do claim that we are holding de jure seats on behalf of the American people until such a time as they are awakened to the fact that they need to be self-governing once again. And now that we have a constitutionally elected president of the interim government, the Republic for the United States of America, we are able to reseat the several states which in law have been vacated and in the condition of being territories by ceding them the method our forefathers gave us, the Northwest Ordinance. Codified by the first de jure Congress, it became known as 1 Statute 50. And that, let's see, the next de jure presidential election will be scheduled once the de jure free states are stood up and are no longer vacated territories in status. That depends on how fast we, the working together, can garner at least 30,000 electors in each state of the free states and hold elections for de jure, not appointed officers that are mandated by newly ratified free state constitutions that would have been ratified by at least 30,000 electors in said states. If we are stood up prior to the above happening, then the above will still need to take place prior to the next de jure presidential election during the transition period. Remember, we are the interim government, and our seats are held until such time as we can be replaced by those from whom we are holding the seats for. If you are an office holder or candidate for the appointed office, and if for some reason you are not willing to accept the validity of my presidency as outlined above, I ask for your immediate resignation. That ends the reading. Now, he has on the bottom here underneath his seal, done outside the city of Washington, this 15th day of September in our year of our Lord 2024, and of the independence of the United States of America, the 248th year. So, that is what the president wrote. Wanted me to read it to you guys tonight, simply because there are some, and we don't know, at least I don't know, who they are. He just told me most likely out in California. But, guys, if you are willing to come in and take an oath to the Republic and serve in this endeavor and not want to serve under Jim Geiger, Bible has a term for that. We call it two-faced. That kind of means that you're in here on your own behalf trying to gain what you can get for it. And that's not what we are about. Everybody on this call and everybody else that's in this republic right now, whether you've been vetted, whether or not you've been sworn in, we're all included in this. We are here because, first of all, we know something's not right and we want to change it. We all got family members that are younger than us and we want to leave them something worthwhile leaving. Every generation that I ever heard talk in front of me has always said the same thing to a degree. I want to leave this land or this city or my county or state better than what I was given. That shows growth. That shows the ability to do something in your lifetime that makes it easier and better for your children and grandchildren. We got so many groups out there right now that are fighting amongst each other. I'll join you if I can be in charge, and only then. Or my way is the only way, not yours. Every one of those groups are going to go down. I don't know how they'll go down, but they will go down. They won't make it. They won't survive. They're not in unity. This republic is a union. That word union comes from the word unity. And it simply means working together. You're a fort. We have a wall around us. That's called the national government. And their job is to make sure that we are protected from invasion and we have a republic form of government. That is their only job. Two things that they are supposed to do for us. Now, there's many facets of those two things. Little arms that stick out in all different directions to get that job done. But that's their only two things they're supposed to do for us. Everything else belongs to you, the state. Read what I hope everybody got it. I hope Sandy sent it out. The documents about the courts, it's really pretty simple. Just remember that whatever level of judge you may be, you are just as important in all this as the person who sits on the Supreme Court. Actually, your job has more importance geographically than the guy up on the top court. Corporation calls it the top court because it's the highest. But that's really not accurate. The top court really ought to be the county court because they're the busiest. They're the ones that see more people and handle more cases. So just please understand. I don't care what position you have in this republic. You may think to yourself, well, it's not that important, but yes, it is. You're just as important to the whole thing as anybody else. Jim Geiger, the president, will tell you, I may be president, but that doesn't mean some guy in Iowa somewhere isn't just as important as I am. Because that's true. He just happens to be in a seat. And by the way, don't misunderstand this. Hollywood will lie to you about this, and so will the federal government. The president isn't the highest seat in the country. He is not. We have three branches. Legislative, executive, judicial. Inside the legislative, we have the House and the Senate. So we have four individuals holding a seat that are of equal stature. They have equal authority, equal power. They are not one above the other. You have president, which is the executive. You got the Senate pro tem, which is the head of the Senate, the House Speaker in charge of the House, and the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court in charge of the judicial. Those four individuals are equal with each other. That's why the Constitution is written in such a way, one can't tell the other what to do or how to do it. Everything is already laid out in how and why in the Constitution. That's why it's called the Constitution for the United States, capital U, simply because it's we the people telling them how far down they can reach. That's all that is. When you take it and make it of, it's the government telling the people how far they can reach up. And that's not what the founding fathers wanted. So anyway, I've been going at this for about an hour and a half. I better shut up. Huh? Been a pleasure to have all of you here. I appreciate you. Mark, let's go ahead and close it down and open it up for questions.
Yes, sir. Thanks for a great lecture tonight. And I definitely got the email from Sandy, the judicial branch in the courts. Is what it's
okay,
entitled.
Good.
It's like a really good one. And, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to unmute everyone. Please mute your phones unless you are asking a question. And, of course, after you ask the question, please remute your phone. If you're tapping on your desk, we can hear that. If somebody's watching TV in the next room, we can hear that, and it's very disruptive to others. So please mute your phones. Thank you.
Roger, Mike, may I have the floor?
Yeah.
I think next week we should go over the judicial code of conduct. With that, I yield.
Did you talk to me earlier about that?
Nope, I've been trying to get a hold of you for 3 weeks.
Oh, really?
Yes,
okay.
Sir.
I was thinking that this afternoon, next week. Okay.
Perfect.
I get confirmation.
This is Nancy from the Free State of Georgia. I have a question.
Sure.
Earlier in this call, you said in 15 days, and that takes us into the beginning of October, I mean.
Right.
Can you tell us what we will be expecting to happen? Any more detail on that?
Well, I can't because I don't know, but I can tell you this. That's God's new year in his Bible. That's his sacred new year. That's the Feast of Rosh Hashanah, the Feast of Trumpets. A lot of things through the history of the world have happened on that feast day. So expect something. It's basically the day
and
time. That's really
and that would be October 2nd?
Yeah, starting the 2nd, yeah.
October.
Actually,
okay,
sundown the 1st. Sure.
Sundown the 1st. Thank you, and thank you for everything you do. God bless you, and God bless the Republic.
Well, thank you, and God bless you.
Eric Buick, Free State of Texas. I have a question, if possible.
Sure. We lose you?
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
If the Republic was stood up back in 2010, why are we duplicating efforts as far as like SEALs and et cetera? Why aren't we just backfilling?
Well, we don't only need to stand it up once, which we did, but we have things that are growing. We got a lot of stuff to recover because we only go to 1860. Everything after 1860, such as the automobile, airplanes, things of that nature, all got to be revisited. So not everything will be changed, but they do a lot of things that are good for safety purposes, but at the same time, for the rights of human beings and so forth, all those got to be revisited after 1860. For instance, the Miranda rights, when somebody gets arrested, you have the right to remain silent and so forth. That wasn't done until 1960. That's gone. Republic will not use that unless the Congress comes up with something that says that we can revisit that or maybe use something different. But that's just an example. There's a lot of things that we won't be using after 1860. So we have to revisit a lot of that. And not to mention the fact we are stood up as far as the world knows that we are here. We just haven't been stood up by our military, and that is who we're waiting on.
Okay, My question was more directed towards how you folks stood it up in 2010, which means that you already have state seals, you already have county seals, and we're redoing that at the ground level.
Now, we don't have county seals. We never done the counties. We've just been working on the states as far as Northwest Ordinance. That's all we've been doing ever since. We were so few of people for a long time. That takes representation in all the states. And that didn't happen until just starting 3 months ago.
Okay, understood. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Hello, I am from South Dakota.
Yeah.
And I would like to tell you that on the list that Sandy set out, North Carolina is listed in the states as number 12 and number 39, I believe. North Dakota is not listed at all, so I believe there is a typo in that list.
Oh, okay. Yeah, okay, I'll tell her. Thank you.
John Goble, Indiana.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm good, sir. I'm in Beech Grove.
Okay, I'm up in Marion.
All righty. I do have a question. One of the things that I've been reviewing, and you just mentioned it a minute ago about the we're waiting on the military. Can you enlighten us on the aspect of the law war manual that gives us the cooperation between the Republic and the law of war manual and the courts?
Yeah, I can. The 2015-2016 Army War Manual in 11.1 through 11.3 talks about an occupying force in a land. Doesn't specify what land. It just says in a land. When they stop helping and feeding and taking care of their occupied people, they no longer occupy. In other words, their occupation is over. Now, in 1871, an opposing force, occupied the United States and changed it from a republic to a democracy and a corporation. They are no longer feeding the people. They are no longer taking care of the occupied people. They are taking care of the illegals coming across the border before they take care of their own people. So their occupation is over by law, by the military manual of law and war, which means that we, the Republic, are working side by side with the military. In other words, we're waiting on them to do what they must do, which is the next chapter of that war manual. So that's what we're waiting on right now. We're waiting on that fact to take place.
In continuation of that, and since the corporation was a belligerent occupier of the 50 states, then are we now considered the belligerent occupier of Washington, D.C.?
I would say we're going to be. I would say we are right now because we're not.
Okay. Does the fence... Does the fence that was erected... show the borders of the alien territory that the corporate office is held in?
I don't know if they realize that, but I would look at it that way, yeah.
Well, and the reason I'm asking this question is because the National Guard of 50 states in 2021, they obviously answered publicly that this was a transfer, there was a peaceful transition to military power. And if that's a military power, then we must have become the belligerent occupier of the alien corporate office. Is that correct?
Well, that may be true on paper, but it's not true in reality. Otherwise, we'd be there, not them. But I understand what you're saying. You know, it's like if you knew the future and you knew the outcome of a ball game, but you had to sit through it to see the end of it. That's what we're doing right now. We're like halfway through.
Yes, I agree. We're actually in the wake up process. Yes.
Right.
Right.
I understand what you're saying. Yeah.
It would seem to me that would be that we're going through the phases of this, and the actual the DC, the corporate office, which, you know, they hold the 450 prisoners in an alien territory illegally, as far as our Constitution is concerned. But under their Constitution, it's completely legal.
Right.
Yeah, that's why I was wondering when all the National Guard and everybody turned their back on the resident, let's call it, drove by. It would have been a very obvious disrespect to the commander-in-chief.
Right. Well, remember...
So I'm just thinking that maybe the belligerent occupancy had switched.
Well, I would actually say it had, but not to the full extent yet.
It's not complete.
Right. Right. Remember... The National Guard was actually ready to be sent out for Pelosi, and she turned it down, remember?
Yes, sir. Yeah.
Well, guess what? Do you think the National Guard's going to go back? Nope. Not for her, anyway.
Well, they wouldn't answer to her because there's a different commander-in-chief, correct?
Exactly, yeah. Yep.
So does the...
Go ahead. I was just going to say, a lot of people have this misconception that the whole military is woke and aren't going to back us. No, that's not true.
Oh, no, that's not even close to true.
Yeah.
I would you agree that the rank and file are absolutely the vast majority are patriots, and we're really dealing with flag officers and above that are affected by congressional promotions?
Yep. That's really all.
I mean, isn't that what we're really dealing with?
Yeah, because when I was in both branches, we never had to deal with the flag officers as such. We were always under command of, you know, the commander of the ship or whatever.
Right.
We were patriots, and so are they. These guys in there now, yeah, they're patriots. They understand what their oath is.
Yeah, I just find it very interesting as you go down through 11.1 through 11.3 that we're waiting for the cease and desist of occupation and return to civil authority.
Uh-huh.
Is that right?
That's correct, because we are the civil authority.
We will be the civil authority.
Correct.
Okay. Yeah, I just wanted to make sure that I had that correct in my mind, and I've been reading through the war manual, and I never specifically saw, because it goes into a great deal of where there's a 120-day period to where there's going to be an election held, and I have never found where there's any defined reestablishment of administration or elections or appointments. Can you touch on that?
Yeah, well, once under the civil authority with the military, it's different with the Northwest Ordinance and then the Constitution. The military authority will get us to the point to where we can use the Constitution, and once that takes place, and they turn that all over to the Republic. At that time, most of everybody from the corporate side is gone. They're either in a hole in the ground or dumped out in the ocean or whatever. We don't have to worry about them. But that's when they will turn us over to the lawful seats that were stolen from us way back in the 1800s. And we will resume again.
I don't mean to rob the show here from everybody, but I do have a question that I've been studying on, and I've been doing this now for 5 years, and I've just now recently gotten invited into this. And one of the questions that I have is the original 13th Amendment, which is the titles of nobility. When that was removed after the execution or the assassination of Abraham Lincoln by Secretary Seward, correct?
I believe so, yeah.
Okay. Once that was done and that ill-gotten removal was transpired, when the new government, the corporation, then wrote a new 13th Amendment, because it takes an amendment to remove an amendment.
Uh-huh.
The slavery amendment is now fraudulent. Is that not correct?
Exactly.
And the 14th Amendment is also fraudulent, because if they would have done it in the order of leaving the 13th Amendment in place, which would have never allowed them to take occupation, but if they were to do that, the 14th Amendment would have been the repeal, the 15th Amendment would have been the anti-slavery, and then the 16th Amendment would have been what they considered the 14th Amendment.
Yeah, a lot of people don't realize it. Two sessions of Congress to actually do a constitutional amendment. I mean, that's how long it takes.
Yes.
So it's not something you can just do in 3 or 4 days, you know. It's And besides, the 13th Amendment, even though it was removed, there is still a section in the Constitution that actually says the same thing. Here,
one of the things that I see that I think needs to occur is, number one, is we have to make people aware that the slavery amendments are unconstitutional, as well as the 14th Amendment, and I think there has to probably be an amendment written in there that basically frees us from the corporation and all the debt slavery.
Well, depends on whether or not they're even still around at any given time. But let me read this part to you here. This is under the legislative, and it's the power forbidden to Congress, section 9, and this is point 8. No title of nobility shall be granted by the United States, and no person holding any office of profit or trust under them shall, without the consent of the Congress, except of any present moment, office or title of any kind whatever, from any king, prince, or foreign state. So the 13th Amendment is actually already in the Constitution, and I don't know if they just forgot to remove that back then or not, because what they were doing was all unlawful and illegal anyway. So that stayed there, but they just don't follow it. You know that.
Right, I understand that. Well, but it's also like the Second Amendment in Article 1, Section 8, It basically says that the government has to arm the people of the United States, provide them ammunition, and also train them.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So even if they tried to do away with the Second Amendment and those types of things, I think what they've done is they've created a more than one avenue in which to be able to repeal any of those things that they wish to do.
Right. Well, I just know this, that once they go down, we won't have to worry about much of that. We just have to build ourselves back up and revisit a lot of things Just think in your head for a second, O'Hara National Airport, International Airport, all the things that go in there every minute. Well, somewhere in Illinois or whatever, there's laws that govern all that, right?
Yes.
We have to revisit and do all that, because that all happened after 1860. So
right.
Our side of things, that doesn't exist until we do something about it.
Well, the uniform commercial code will be gone.
Exactly. Thank God.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
If I may, just real quick, I would be afraid of the Federal Aviation Commission going away. Just saying.
Yeah. I mean, you know, that's what I was saying. There's a lot of things that the corporate government has done that is good, and we may decide to keep a lot of that, but not in a corporate style of government, you know, because speed limit signs on the highways are a good thing. We don't want to just completely do away with that. It's in Germany in the Autobahn.
Right. Right. Well, and the other thing is when they wrote those laws, even though they did benefit us, they were more of a benefit to the corporation. It just worked out for us.
Yeah, because it was bringing in money for them.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay, well, hey, let me go on here, okay?
Yes, sir, I'm done. Yes, sir. Thank you.
I thank you. Anybody else?
Yes, Mr. Wallingham.
Yes.
This is Janice Hudy. I'm a volunteer with the Comal County Free State of Texas. And I do want to hold a place in our county government.
Uh-huh.
Are we required to know all that we're supposed to know to hold that place, see?
Ma'am? I'm still learning, so no, you don't have to know everything.
We don't need to know everything. Oh, that's good to know. Thank you, sir.
No, because there's no way you would. I don't know everything yet. I'm working on it, but I tell you, it took me 14 years to get where I'm at now. I'm still learning.
Oh, man.
Thank you for all you do, sir, and God bless the Republic.
Oh, thank you. God bless you, too.
Hello, may I speak?
Yeah, go ahead.
Hello? This is Adrian from Connecticut. I have two questions. I'm going to ask the simple one first. I hear two terms used, judge and justice. What are the differences of this position?
A justice is somebody that is appointed by the president. That would be your Supreme Court and your district court levels. The judge is the state level judge, is all state level. So Supreme Court, county, and so forth. That's the only difference.
Oh, very good. Thank you. And my next question, now it's to my understanding that tentatively we're on a time frame or some sort of deadline for all states to achieve filling all the seats to be considered a free state and a member of the Republic before the upcoming November election? Is that a deadline?
That's a pretty good observation, yeah.
Okay.
I would agree with that.
My question is, if that happens, and let's say, because Connecticut, we have a fire under us right now, if everybody gets it all together and it's all good to go before the November election, will there be an election to vote in, or would it be some kind of conflict of interest?
Are you mean like you vote in that other election?
Well, there's Geiger, and then there's Trump. So I'm saying two different elections.
Right. You know, years ago we decided that it would be best not to vote in theirs since we are in this, but right now we're not holding elections. Personally, I would say that would be up to you. However, I would advise not going into their election process.
Okay.
Because you're eventually going to take an oath to the Republic. And in,
right,
just in
right.
my okay. own, that would settle that for me.
I get it. Yeah, it's a conflict. Okay, very good. And thank you so much with my deepest gratitude. Over now.
Oh, you're quite welcome. Anybody
Justice
else?
Justice Waters. Yes.
Yes.
Justice Waters, this is Janie Robbins from Alabama. And
yeah.
If I understood you to say that President Trump has already been stood up, and if that is true, how has that happened since he was elected under the corporation?
Well, you're talking about right now?
Yes.
Point of order?
Yeah.
I believe, Roger, that you misspoke towards the beginning and said Trump and intended to say Geiger, and that's what she's referring to.
Oh, okay.
I yield.
Oh,
okay, good. That clears it up.
Okay.
Okay, thank you.
Larry McIver, Michigan Free State.
Yes.
My question kind of goes to, I've been hearing that there's intended to be a meeting between the Republican, de facto President Trump after the election. Is that true?
I don't know anything about that. That's above my pay grade. I don't know.
Okay.
That's out of my jurisdiction, so to speak.
Okay. Well, I've had somebody mention that to me in the Republic, and I was just curious. Thank you.
You're welcome. Anybody else?
If I may, sir, Roger. This is Jeanette.
Yeah.
There was another gentleman on there.
That's okay, Jeanette. You go ahead first.
Okay, all right. I just, you were part of my vetting committee panel. And one of the things that I wanted the other, the volunteers and the members on this call that haven't committed to a seat, the two things that you told me that gave me confidence to sit as a judge or to be vetted as a judge in the state of Massachusetts was two things. One, the judge is simply the referee. The people in the court there will be a jury there of their peers that will determine whether somebody is guilty or not. So that's off your shoulders. And then the other thing that I love that you told me was it's biblical. It's God's law. As long as you have integrity and you do, and there's tons of resources out there. It could be paper resources. It could be online resources. And we have tons of people that will support us. You're one of them. Dan Krieger is another. We have questions. We have resources. So please, everyone that is considering a seat, and if it's perhaps a judge in a state, please consider standing up and taking that position. Thank you.
Well, thank you. Can I hire you as my salesman?
Yes, sir. Biggest cheerleader.
Okay. Well, thank you.
Roger, this is Clyde Roger from Florida, Free State of Florida. I don't know how many people on this call have listened to Colonel Sandy Myarecki's latest video she did with Nicholas Vianneman, but it would help a lot of people. A lot of things that have been brought up about the Republic and what's going to be happening with the election is she kind of dealt with in this video. And it's called Sandy Myarecki Discusses Secret War Between Trump's Republic and Deep State. And it's on Rumble. And I can send you the link if you don't have it, and you can share it with everybody in the committee. But
yeah.
I highly recommend everyone listen to that. Because she states okay. right in there that, you know, the hope is that Trump wants us to get this Republic seated. He wants us to get this as close to being seated as possible. So that, I mean, it just makes sense that the election then would be in our republic, not in the de facto. So I think that's what we all want, and that's where the goal, and that's what is inspiring me to recruit as many people as I can. I spent the whole weekend at the gun show this weekend in Palm Beach County recruiting people and walking around and talking to people. What a gold mine of recruits I've got there. I got a whole bunch of people. You know, I think that's a good idea for everyone. Anyone, if you have Second Amendment, we're also part of the Second Amendment organization here in Palm Beach, and I'm going to be speaking to them on Thursday. There's about 60 people. And, you know, I think really, I mean, I'm all in and being a justice here, but what we all need to be doing is recruiting people like crazy and bringing them in. And so that's the main thing I wanted to say. The other thing, the conversation about the 13th and 14th Amendment that the de facto passed, that has nothing to do with us. It's not our 13th Amendment or 14th Amendment. Our 13th Amendment was signed by Virginia in 1818, I think it was. Yeah. And it was approved, and that's our 13th Amendment. We don't have a 14th Amendment in our republic.
Well, technically, we go to the 10th, so we'll take 11, 12, and 13 if we have to. I'm sure we'll take the 13th anyway.
I don't think we need the 11th or 12th.
No, that was one of the discussions that was happening way back in the early days with the Congress, and that's why we kind of leave that alone right now. They decided we didn't need it.
We don't need it.
No.
We just need the 13th. The 13th is very important. And you're right. The 13th is basically repeated in our original Constitution. It says the same thing.
Right.
But you know what? It's so important to keep the bar attorneys out of our hair that it needs to be repeated twice, in my opinion.
You know that they are going to try to sneak their way in our republic, and we're going to have to come hard on them.
Yep.
They have no place. So.
Yep. We don't want any part of them.
No, we don't.
Absolutely.
Well, guys, look, it's 10 o'clock.
Justice Waters, Susie O'Donnell from Connecticut. I've been trying to get on all night. Thank you. I want to make it quick for you. The documents about the courts, Connecticut didn't get them from Sandy. And I have a couple of people who want to sit for the seats, and they're wondering if there was any instruction. You mentioned something about maybe some classes or instructions for the new people coming in. Are you going to be doing that?
Well, this kind of is itself, but...
okay. It is. Okay.
Up later.
Okay.
You got my email?
I don't, sir.
All right. Well, let me give that out to you. Everybody else take this, too.
Okay.
Okay. Indiana Justice.
Okay. Okay.
On.me.
I'm sorry, would you say that last two words?
At Proton.
Oh, okay.
.me.
Okay, great, thank you. Okay, I wanted to ask also about, I had some questions, and I've only been involved in this for about 3 weeks, and I've read the book, and I've been getting a team together here in Connecticut, so we can try to meet that November deadline. But I have a question about county assemblies, and how does that really fit into the Constitution? Well, we don't have the documents to do the county assemblies. So we're kind of held up here without knowing what to do. And then I'm a little concerned about how do 25 people go in and file papers and make laws for your county when you have thousands of people in the county. Is that how that works?
You know, you're going to have to get with Dave Roberts on that one.
Okay. All right.
I would advise.
Okay. All right. I will. The another question is, 1860 to 1871. When we adopt, when we stand up and we adopt the Constitution and Declaration of Independence, Bill of Rights, etc., any of those amendments and any of those law statutes and whatever are not lawful at that time, right? So we don't, like, you know, the Constitution has so many amendments that were I'm sorry, can you hear me? That are not legal, they're not lawful, right? So when we adopt the Constitution, automatically those drop off, or we have to have a period of time where we review them? Because it seems I'm sorry.
We've already adopted the Constitution. That's in our DSI.
Did that as of... Yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry.
1860 on is valid, unvalid. It's no good.
Yeah.
So, like I said, Miranda, that's no good. The thing that did is no good back in his day, in 1873, 74. It's all gone.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. We have to start from 1860 and go forward with all of our
So that's all, like, all the environmental statutes, is gone, right? I mean, there's nothing there. So, yeah, okay. That's what I thought. I just wanted to, you know, I just like to look forward and say, so where are we going? Like, what is our government going to be like? What's going to be valid, lawful, and what isn't going to be, you know, so...
Right.
All righty. Thank you so much.
What are you going for?
Governor. I've been asked. There was a woman that was sitting as for interim governor, and she asked me with my background, my management background, if I would fill in for her. And most of my life I've had my own businesses, and I've done environmental laws and regulations worldwide. So that's why I'm so interested in the legal part of it, too. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, well, appreciate you being here.
Yeah, thank you so much. I really appreciate everything, really. And we're excited to go forward.
You're very welcome.
Yeah, thank you.
Justice Waters?
Yeah.
Justice Waters, real quick. This is Governor Reed from Louisiana. Former President Turner just tried to call me, and I mentioned to him about the question because he's been working with Dave Roberts for – as everybody knows, for weeks in perfecting the county document, you know. So I just mentioned to him about the question and that if I could, you know, relay something to you about what he said. Governor Michael Bishop from Florida has fine-tuned that document and is sent it to me and having it available for, you know, other governors or other states. It's very well done. You know, I had read it or heard it read, and I suggested to him that Governor Michael Bishop send that to you, since everyone has your email, and that you could disperse that. And he thought that was a great idea, because he, like I said, worked with Dave Roberts at his house for like 3 weeks and perfected it. And then Michael Bishop, like I said, just clarified a few other little points even more. And so if that's okay, I'll send that to you and those that are asking about.
Sure.
It's 5 to 7 people in order to settle a county, you know, not 25. And so anyway, that's what he suggested. So I just thought I'd pass it on to you, and I'll make sure that you get it. Justice Waters, and Justice Waters, you're a great teacher. You're a mighty man of God. You You'll be in his hands and feet, and I just commend you for all that you're doing for the Republic, and you're a great teacher. Everything is crystal clear, and glad to be on the call. And thank you all that are participating and are on the call. God bless you, and I yield.
Well, thank you, Governor. And, yeah, you send that to me. I'll send it out next week with the packet for everybody. So I appreciate that.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
God bless.
Guys, you too. It's 7 after 10. I'm going to have to get off.
God bless.
I turn into a here in a few minutes.
Maybe so, get your email just one more time.
Sure. It's Indiana Justice at proton.me, M-E.
Thank you for everything.
Oh, you're quite
welcome.
Good night,
everybody. We'll see y'all next
week. Appreciate you being
here. Yes, I appreciate
you
and everybody. Good night. Sleep tight.
Good night.
God bless.